When it comes to getting their agenda done, how does a small minority carry such power and clout? Coming up next, we hear from two people who've left the gay lifestyle.
You know, growing up, I knew I felt different, and I was different. Basically, in a nutshell, I turned out to be gay.
They did not even know that I was a lesbian. That was not important to them. What was important to them is that they knew that I did not know the Lord.
We'll hear how they see the issue of homosexuality today. You'll also meet a woman who's spoken out on this issue for over two decades. All of that is straight ahead.
And folks, it is not. I mean, anyone with a brain realizes it is not equal. Two men are not the same thing as a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Can homosexuals raise children? Absolutely. Is that what God's perfect plan is? Absolutely not. However, we need to realize that people have strayed so far away from God's design of marriage. Marriage isn't to be decided by a government or by judges or, you know, courts, anything like that. This is God. God is the one who designed this.
This is Understanding the Times Radio with Jan Markell. This hour, we're revisiting a theme we've done in the past. With a recent executive order on the gay agenda issued from the White House, it's time to discuss it again. Two previous guests returned today to give us a unique perspective on what it's like to leave the gay lifestyle. Jan will then meet with a woman who's been opposing the homosexual agenda for 20 years, Linda Harvey. This is one of those programs you don't want to miss. Here now is Jan Markell.
We are going to take the entire hour today to talk about a single issue that is responsible for a decline in the culture that is shocking, and that being the gay agenda. But I want to open the program playing two testimonies that reveal that this is not a hopeless battle. I want to play a few minutes of Stephen Bennett's testimony and Rosaria Butterfield's testimony. Both overcame the gay lifestyle through their faith in Jesus Christ. Both had Christians step into their lives and risk and face rejection by giving them the gospel, but the truth set Stephen and Rosaria free. Then I'm going to move on and interview Linda Harvey from Mission America and bring this topic up to date. We'll talk a bit about the Hobby Lobby decision in late June, about an executive order by Barack Obama in late July, and some other related issues as well. The Bible says the culture will decline in the latter days, but let's never give up standing for righteousness. Now over to Stephen Bennett.
You know, growing up, I knew I felt different, and I was different. Basically, in a nutshell, I turned out to be gay. I had accepted a gay identity. I did not grow up in a Christian home. I had a father who was a great provider. However, my father was an alcoholic, but him and my mom never really had a great relationship, and unfortunately, I didn't either with my dad. So my mom was really the one who raised the kids. Very difficult having a boy be raised solely by a mother, and I know that happens a lot today, and I do appreciate a lot of the single moms out there who are doing wonderful jobs. But for me, Jan, I never really knew how to be a little boy. I never knew how to play sports, any of those games. And I hung around with a lot of girls growing up in school because I did feel different from other boys. And as I stated, when puberty kicked in around 11, 12 years old, I knew that it was not girls I was attracted to, but actually boys. And then tragically for me, in the sixth grade, I was molested by another student. And that, for me, really messed up my head and led me down a path that I would have never chosen to go down if I had the choice. But from that point, I believed for many years, after being called queer, faggot, sissy, all of those horrible names, that that's exactly what I was because of everything that happened to me. And then when I was 18 years old and I went off to college, I had my first openly homosexual relationship. And then that began for me an 11-year period into the gay lifestyle. I descended into a life of drugs, alcohol, over 100 male partners, many whom are dead today from HIV/AIDS, and it's a miracle I was never infected. And then finally being in love with another man, and in a 3-year live-in relationship, I got a wonderful knock at my door one day, and it was actually a Christian friend who came to share God's word with me about what the Bible said about homosexuality. And for the first time in my life, I heard the truth of someone telling me that I was not born gay. However, according to 1 Corinthians 6:9-11, if I continued in that lifestyle, that I would not be able to go to heaven. I would not inherit the kingdom of God. However, verse 11 was the most encouraging, stating that there were homosexuals who once were gay and who no longer were, that they had come out of that lifestyle, and now that they've been sanctified by God, set apart for his holy use, and were now the men and women that God created them to be. And she asked if I would pray with her at that point, which I did not, but she left the King James Bible with me, which I prefer to read today, as well as Hal Lindsey's book, The Late Great Planet Earth, explaining how God was a God of prophecy. And if he said he would do something, you would see in the Bible exactly how he brought it to pass exactly that way. And so if God is saying that you will not go to heaven because you are engaging in homosexual behavior, but you are able to come out of that, that was something I really needed to do. And so over the next year and a half, I prayed. I began reading the Bible as much as I could. And even though I didn't understand many things, because the Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, that they're foolishness unto him, they started sinking in little by little. Because the Bible says, of course, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Until one day, I literally broke down in tears crying in my home because I realized what an unbelievable, horrible, wicked sinner I was, and I could not even believe the life that I was living. It's like the blinders were removed from my eyes. And I called my friend Kathy, who I had was good friends with, who had shared the gospel with me a year and a half earlier prior to that point, and I did pray with her over the phone to receive Christ. I understood exactly what it was about repenting, of asking God for forgiveness for my sin, and repent, to turn away, to completely walk away from that lifestyle. And over the next year, I just saw so many amazing things that happened. Reconciliation with my alcoholic father, amazing relationships with brand new Christians in my life, and I met a beautiful woman that Kathy introduced me to, who was praying for me. And by God's grace, today, that is my wife, Irene. And we have just celebrated our 20th wedding anniversary on June 13th. God has blessed us with two amazing children. And I say before you and before the Lord and your audience that I am no longer a gay man. I no longer struggle whatsoever with my homosexual past.
Right.
God has called us into ministry now. And the ministry, of course, is to share the love and the grace and the mercy of God with homosexual men and women, and for them to be able to understand God's love and to be able to accept his forgiveness and to come out of the gay lifestyle.
Yeah.
When we look at everything going on in America, they state about not 10% of the population is gay, but roughly 2.5% of the population is gay. Now, if you take that 2.5% and realize maybe only 5% of that 2.5% are militant activists who are trying to turn this country upside down, a minuscule amount, look at what they have done. Look at the amount of change that has happened over the last several years because of just a handful of powerful homosexual activists. It's not only affected the government, it's affecting schools, it's affecting families, it's affecting churches. And of course, what they're trying to do is they're basically marching in with their fist shaken, saying, we demand equality. Homosexuality is equivalent to heterosexuality. And folks, it is not. I mean, anyone with a brain realizes it is not equal. Two men are not the same thing as a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. Can homosexuals raise children? Absolutely. Is that what God's perfect plan is? Absolutely not. However, we need to realize that people have strayed so far away from God's design of marriage. Marriage isn't to be decided by a government or by judges or, you know, courts, anything like that. This is God. God is the one who designed this.
Thank you, Stephen. Now I'm moving on to Rosaria Butterfield, former professor, former lesbian, now a pastor's wife. At 28, you were a promoter of radical leftist ideals. You were a teaching associate, probably one of the strongest women's studies department in the nation, and you would go on to be what you call a tenured radical. You were a committed leader of the gay community. You had a lot of years in the academic community.
I did, yes, that's right.
How many years were you a teacher?
Well, I started out as a graduate teaching assistant when I was 23, and then I was on faculty as an assistant professor, tenure track, at Syracuse University when I was, you know, around 30. And then I was nominated for tenure, and then the Lord converted me. Mm-hmm. And so I was total in the classroom about 16 years. After my conversion, I was studying the question of, should a Christian professor profess at a Christian college or at a secular university? And I had a research leave, and so I was then at Geneva College in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania.
Rosaria, what was the journey you went through from the gay lifestyle to becoming a Christian?
When Ken and Floyd Smith invited me to their home, they were an older, even at that point, an older couple, an older pastor and pastor's wife who lived in my neighborhood, and they were not involved in a very deep way with the university. They did not even know that I was a lesbian. That was not important to them. What was important to them is that they knew that I did not know the Lord, and so they really focused on that. You know, their focus was always, who is Jesus? I suppose it began with my editorial in the newspaper, which prompted him to write a letter to me. But I had written a letter, an editorial, protesting the Promise Keepers, I don't know what you want to call it, seminar at the university. And I had written a letter in opposition to the Promise Keepers. And then I received a letter from Ken Smith, and it wasn't hate mail and it wasn't fan mail. And so I had to ponder it long enough that it was important to call him back, because he left a phone number at the bottom of his letter. And he said, please call me so we can talk about this. And I felt like it was important to do that. Ken did not keep me at arm's length. That Ken believes strongly the Christian call of hospitality means bringing the stranger in. And during my 2 years of just sitting on the fence and reading the Bible and meeting with Ken and Floy, I saw any number of people that Ken and Floy would bring into their home. I was certainly not the only one. I was not the only stranger at the gate.
Rosaria, you write this. Mm-hmm. You say, the word Jesus stuck in my throat like an elephant tusk. No matter how hard I choked, I couldn't hack it out.
Mm-hmm.
Those who professed the name commanded my pity and wrath. As a university professor, I tired of students who seemed to believe that knowing Jesus meant knowing little else. Christians in particular were bad readers, always seizing opportunities to insert a Bible verse into a conversation with the same point as a punctuation mark to end it rather than deepen it. Pointless, menacing. That's what I thought of Christians and their God, Jesus, who in paintings looked as powerful as a Breck shampoo commercial model. Mm-hmm. And then you say, as a professor of English and women's studies on the track to becoming a tenured radical, I cared about morality, justice, and compassion. Fervent for the worldviews of Freud, Hegel, Marx, and Darwin, I strove to stand with the disempowered. So you've come a long way, and you came from participating in gay pride events to start to attending church, and that's quite a leap.
But I had been raised Catholic, and I remember as a little girl praying and having a fairly faithful prayer life. I remember that. And then I remember going off to college and struggling with issues of sexuality. And by struggling, I don't mean struggling as a Christian, as in I was trying to maintain purity, but wondering why I enjoyed having a boyfriend, because it was a good cover for some of the intense feelings I was having for other women. You know, that just, it struck me. You know, these were difficult and uncomfortable times. So I did in some ways go from someone for whom the name of Jesus rolled off my tongue as in a little girl's prayers, mm-hmm. and then in some ways rolled off my back in college. And it was in that posture and through that experience that I started to truly revile. And I remember just feeling a visceral distaste for the name of Jesus. But it was in my conversations with Ken is that he was insisting that he would meet me not so much where I wanted to meet him, but he would back me up, say, well, were you raised in the faith?
Mm-hmm.
What faith were you raised in? Were you baptized? Funny questions, really, for a lesbian professor, you know?
Well, you two dialogued, and his wife, too. The three of you dialogued, I think, for 2 years before you even went to his church. Is that right?
Yes, that's right. I was working on a book. I was working on a book on the religious right from a lesbian feminist perspective, and I was committed user in some ways, and I just really thought that Ken would be great for my research, because the Bible was a, you know, it's a pretty big book, a little daunting to read. I was committed to reading it because, as an English professor, I wanted to know how this one book got so many people off track. And when Ken presented himself to me, it seemed, quite frankly, that I finally had a tutor for my Bible reading. And then soberly addressing the fact that I needed to read the Bible. And even though I was a postmodernist, a committed researcher always tries to read things from the perspective of your opposition. So if I'm trying to understand how the Bible became such a significant galvanizing force among evangelical Christians, I wanted to try to understand from an evangelical Christian point of view why this book had so much power and authority. After reading and rereading the Bible and meeting with Ken and Floyd, I came to confront some key questions that the Bible puts forward. These questions that really pointed me to turn the pages of my own heart over were almost like they were in the spotlight, and I needed to confront them. And if you want to hear the voice of God in your life, you have to be reading the Bible. You have to be immersed in it. If I wait for my dog to meow to let me know that he needs to go out, I'm going to be waiting a long time, because that's not his voice. And so in some ways, I feel that through no good intention of my own, the Lord ordained that I would be steeped in Scripture through this research project, which did start to, of course, shine certain questions into my heart. Now, the figure of Jesus is very important to social activists like myself, but if you actually have read through the Bible in big chunks of change more than once, you could never walk away with an idea that Jesus was a passive social justice activist. Going to the cross was not a passive act of nonviolent demonstration. The covenant demands blood in an egregious way, and if you have read the Bible more than once, you know that Jesus is the Word made flesh. And he says, among other things, that he came to fulfill the law, not to destroy it. And so when a friend of mine said, but you can have Jesus and your girlfriend too, I heard what he said. I was fairly sure we couldn't have been reading the same Bible, because the consequence of taking the Bible in bits and pieces is that you no longer have an organic whole. You no longer have biblical revelation. You no longer have a God who can speak into your life. And you no longer have the pathway to a holy God who can hear your prayers. So to me, my friend had a very different notion of Jesus. And finally, a very different notion of what it meant to be a redeemed person. Because it seemed to me that the Bible made clear that in Christ, you were dead to your sin. You are a new creature in Christ, and a new creature implies that what you used to be is now dead. And, you know, dead is dead. So that struck me as different. It also struck me that the Bible talked about taking up your cross daily. And then finally, the Bible also talks about that you have to obey before you understand. And then at the very end of all of this, the Bible commands a life of relinquishment. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing add and stir about that. You know, you could add Jesus to your life, but that's not the Jesus who had power to redeem a life. And that was the Jesus that I was reading about, that I was intrigued by. But the real issue is unbelief. That's the key issue. And that's part of why it can be so challenging to talk with people who identify as gay and Christian. And I think ultimately, it's very important to realize that when you are dealing with anyone who would identify that a particular sin pattern in their case is not really a sin, but is God's grace, what you're dealing with there is a particular revision of the Bible that is not accurate. And so it's a wonderful opportunity to read the Scriptures together, among other things. It's a wonderful opportunity to talk about the liberty that is in the whole counsel of God, not just the bits and the pieces. You know, one of the things that you will often hear again and again and again is that the church has neglected its care of the gay and lesbian community. Now, that may be true, but that's not true of Jesus. Jesus is not unable to help. Jesus is not unable to save.
I'm going to take a two-minute timeout, and then we'll be joined by Linda Harvey from Mission America, who will bring this topic up to date here as we head towards the end of summer. Some very significant things have happened in June, July, and August. We'll talk about it in just 2 minutes.
Don't forget, any weekly edition of Understanding the Times Radio can be purchased on CD. Simply call Olive Tree Ministries at 763-559-4444. You can also download the program free of charge from our website, olivetreeviews.org. Jan would love to hear from you about your interest in listening to this weekly program. You can write to her at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. We'll be back in just a moment.
Why not save the date now and plan to attend the Understanding of the Times Fall 2014 conference event just outside of Minneapolis, Minnesota. It's Saturday, October 4th at Grace Church in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, and there's no cost or registration needed. Prophecy scholar Dr. Ed Heinzen will be featured, as well as Calvary Chapel's Pastor Jack Hibbs. Pastor Steve Corey comes all the way from Jerusalem, and this year, Jan Markell, host of Understanding the Times Radio, will be speaking as well. Topics include current events, Bible prophecy, and apologetics. If you've been watching the headlines, you know you need to better understand the times. Join thousands from across America on Saturday, October 4th. Visit olivetreeviews.org or call us today for more details. 763-559-4444. That's 763-559-4444. We have a conference hotel with a special rate. Act now, and we'll see you in October.
I think we would all agree that our world is changing so quickly that it's hard to keep up. Every day, the news media reports on stories that bring more uncertainty into our lives, and without a good resource to encourage us, our hope slowly diminishes. Understanding the Times Radio is a program that assures you that God is in control, regardless of how it may seem from our news sources. We know that God is working out His plan to return to rule from Jerusalem, but there are forces at play fighting to keep that event from happening. Every day, this ministry provides news headlines on our website that inform and provide perspective on discerning our times. In these difficult and changing times, don't be without a resource in providing perspective on current events with biblical insight. A source you can trust is olivetreeviews.org. That's olivetreeviews.org. Our weekly podcast of this program is also found on this website, along with phone apps, articles, and past radio programs, all that are designed with one thing in mind, informing you about our times. olivetreeviews.org.
First of all, I should preface this. I don't know if you know this, but I am gay. And so that's important to
and
me.
And you're happy, too.
I am happy, and I'm gay.
I know.
Yes, because there are some people that are gay and not happy, as we know. It's important for me to be able to commit to someone that I love and have the same benefits, the same rights. Right. People who are gay care about that.
This is such a propagandized issue. People are blinded. People are buying into the idea, which is not scriptural and also not scientific, that people are born this way. They are not born this way. This is a behavior. The feelings may be strong, but it is absolutely changeable, and we need to come against this behavior and stop the idea of a gay identity.
Jan's next guest is a former advertising executive, Linda Harvey. In 1995, Linda founded Mission America, a nonprofit organization whose objective is to equip Christians with current, accurate information about cultural issues such as feminism, homosexuality, education, and New Age influences. Today, Jan and Linda are discussing the pervasive issue of homosexuality. Here again is Jan Markell.
And welcome back. I am joined for the segment by Linda Harvey. She is president and founder of Mission America. She's an author, speaker, radio host who has reported on sexual identity politics for 20 years. And she was raised in a liberal home, became a Christian, changed her mind and heart about some of the most volatile issues of our time. We're going to talk about some of those volatile issues. And she has I've been interviewed on many programs, and since 2009, she has been the host of the Mission America radio program broadcast throughout Ohio, but we'll give online information here in just a moment. Linda, welcome for the first time to Understanding the Times Radio.
Oh, thank you so much, Jan. It's an honor to be on your show.
Let's just jump back quickly to the Hobby Lobby victory of now several weeks ago. And you said to me that gay groups are throwing down the gauntlet, that no religious exemptions are to be allowed with regard to laws on sexual orientation and gender identity. You said to me that this should be a wake-up call for pastors. What do you mean by that? And particularly, what do you mean by this should be a wake-up call for pastors?
Well, after the Hobby Lobby decision, I don't know if people remember that, but the homosexual activists and all of the left, and of course the pro-abortion folks, were outraged that any company president and company directed by Christians with a strong faith would actually be able to exercise their First Amendment right in the values of the company and what they offered to employees. It's kind of a mixture of this idea of entitlement. You know, now it's not that you work for a company and you're just blessed by what they offer you. No, my employer owes me certain things, and they owe me what I want rather than what that person's values are. And that's where we're seeing this evolution of, you know, you give me what I want, no matter if it violates your values or not. Mm-hmm. So the homosexual activist said, this means we need to deny any kind of religious exemptions on the issues of sexual orientation and gender identity as well. So companies are going to be forced to accept those without any religious exemptions. And that means organizations as well. And it's not long before that will extend to all organizations, and I think including churches.
Okay, so what is a pastor to do about it? Because you say this is a wake-up call for pastors. What are they
to
do?
Well, here's the thing. I have been involved in public policy issues and testimonies at the Ohio State House and other states on these bills that have to do with homosexuality. And the other side, those proposing full acceptance of homosexuality or same-sex marriage and so on, always have pastors. Episcopalians, the United Church of Christ, mm-hmm. other liberal denominations are there. We never have anyone. Occasionally, you'll have an Orthodox rabbi there. That's all. People are not standing up on this. They're not willing to put their names out there, their reputations out there. And yes, these people are vicious, and yes, it does. There is a cost. But people are going to have to stand up, and pastors are going to have to realize this has a huge impact on America, on our culture, on children. Everything we pass regarding acceptance and embrace of homosexuality or same-sex marriage, it's not just some little population over there. It is being mandated in our schools and now in our courts and now in our workplaces that you have to embrace this. Not just embrace this, you have to honor it, or else we're going to punish you.
Now, you say we're not there. You mean evangelical Christianity is not represented?
Christianity is not represented. There are no clergy of any kind that stand up and will put their names on the line and their reputations on the line that I've experienced to say, I oppose this expansion of the embrace of homosexuality. It's tragic. It's really tragic.
And we're going to get to a related issue, and that's what happened with Barack Obama here in just a moment, and that is back on July 21st, another executive order was passed. Before I go there, I wanted to ask you about, because we're talking here a little bit about intolerance, not that the left is intolerant. They're the tolerant, intolerant bunch of people. I say? And you came out with a new book. This would have been, is it 6 months ago now?
Yes.
Yeah, and the title of the book is, again, Maybe He's Not Gay?
Maybe He's Not Gay, Another View on Homosexuality is for Youth, particularly. But adults can gain a lot from this book as well.
And in a paragraph, talk to us about what it is about.
Well, what I decided was I do a lot of talking with high school groups and youth groups and parents and talking about the schools issue and how homosexuality and gender identity is being pressed in the schools. And it occurred to me that, you know, so many of our kids have some sort of a peer or somebody they know at school, it might be their cousin, mm-hmm. who says that they are gay, and they are demanding that people recognize that and accept that as if it's like race, like it's inborn, which it is not. So my title for the book comes from that. Maybe He's Not Gay. And then I walk people through the idea that people are not born this way, that there's a lot of common sense reasons. You can observe out in culture the way, you know, there are ex-homosexuals, the way people who are actual practicing homosexuals are living their lives, that it is very changeable, and that there's a lot of sound scriptural evidence that the power of God can change this sin in anyone's life.
And what happened? Because I think what happened, particularly when it was posted on Amazon, is almost as important as the subject matter in your book.
Right. I came out with this book, and we announced it on my, I sent out a national e-newsletter, and within 24 hours, and it was on Amazon, the Kindle version, and within 24 hours, there were something like 60 reviews just ripping me apart, the book apart, Mission America apart, hate, you know, hateful this, bigotry that, ad hominem attacks, and I decided, and talked to the publisher, we would take it down from Amazon, just wait for, you know, those who'd ordered the book from what I consider to be our side, the fair side, I'll wait till they got a chance to read it and posted better reviews. And then the other side went crazy saying, hallelujah, you know, Amazon has pulled down this hateful book. They assumed that it was pulled because Amazon
they won.
And then we put it back up 2 weeks later and announced that, no, we pulled it because of your awful behavior, folks. Then our side began to post wonderful reviews, and it turned out to be a great publicity angle for the book. So it's been selling quite well.
Wonderful. My producer, Larry Kutzler, wants to weigh in here.
Well, Linda, as a former pastor, I remember speaking on the theme of homosexuality out of Romans 1 many times while I was in the last church I served. And I used to get hate mail on Monday from my congregation saying that had my gay friends been in that congregation, I would have been embarrassed. Is that part of why so many pastors shy away? They just don't want to create the waves within their congregation?
Oh, absolutely. It's not as if we don't understand what happens. This is such a propagandized issue. People are blinded. Even people who really aren't terribly approving of homosexuality will do exactly what they did in your situation, is that they'll say, you've hurt this person, as if you've hurt them because, like, it's like race. People are buying into the idea, which is not scriptural and also not scientific, that people are born this way. They are not born this way. This is a behavior. The feelings may be strong, but it is absolutely changeable, and we need to come against this behavior and stop the idea of a gay identity. There is no such thing. Mm-hmm. There's just preference.
If you join me late, you're listening to Understanding the Times Radio. I'm Jan Markell. I have on the line from Ohio, Linda Harvey. You can learn more at missionamerica.com, missionamerica.com. She deals with a lot of the issues as it relates to the gay agenda. And Linda, I think I picked this article off of your website, and it's Gallup poll. Number of those believing people are born gay, staying in the genre we were talking about seconds ago, that number of those believing people are born gay is declining. Rather, upbringing and environment cause this behavior. Let's see here. The gay gene science has virtually withered, stated the article. Then I'm going to quote here. I'm going to cite a recent article written by Joseph Farah and get your response on it. And it's called The Cultural Tail Wags the Dog. Just reading a few very short paragraphs. And he writes, after polling some 33,500 adults between the ages of 18 and 64, it was found that fewer than 3% of Americans identified themselves as gay, lesbian, or bisexual. For years, the gay lobby has been talking about representing 10% of the population based on old data compiled by the warped mind of Alfred Kinsey. In short, we were sold a bill of goods about homosexuality by people who had an agenda, dropping down in his article. In fact, you'd be hard-pressed to avoid being bombarded by the amount of agitprop about homosexuality from the press, Hollywood, government, and even your kids' schools. So why is that? Why is the cultural tail wagging the dog? Why is less than 3% of the population having its way with 97% of America? Why is the gay agenda rammed down the throats of more than 97% of the people? It's hard to understand. I can't think of any other minority this small that is so powerful. So what is the answer? The answer is it's about fundamentally transforming America. It's about rewriting the values that have held the nation together for centuries. It's about eroding the Judeo-Christian values that make self-government and liberty possible. It's about replacing God with government development and social reengineering. That by Joseph Farah some weeks ago now on WorldNet Daily, WND.com. Your thoughts to what Joseph Farah has written?
Well, he's absolutely right. It is a very small minority and has remained a small minority. I think one of the things we need to understand is that it could be a larger minority. Since people are not born this way, the more you promote it, it is likely that we will see more of this as time goes on. However, yes, a very small minority. What they have are, it's this minority and their friends and defenders and family, and that becomes a larger group, and that's the left, and that the hard left is about 15 to 20% of the nation. A lot of those folks have their own reasons for promoting sexual aberration and sexual license. They may be heterosexuals who are quite compromised themselves. So I think that's the thing people need to realize. People have taken under their wings these folks as if they are victims. They're victims of Christianity. Mm-hmm. They're victims of so-called violence and bullying that can only be cured, they say, by everyone embracing this. We can't just punish the actions themselves, which, of course, we know we can. And so that's the story, is that they've got a larger group of defenders, and because of that, they are largely unaccountable.
So would you agree with this 3%? This happens to be I believe it's a Gallup poll. I'm not 100% sure. Farah is quoting a poll. I think it's Gallup. But anyway, it seemed to be official. But would you agree with the finding?
Well, I think that is the people that are willing to admit and have a long-term identity with that lifestyle. My personal feeling is that it's higher, and if you go down into the younger generation, it's definitely going to be higher. But some of that will, again, there's a lot of research out there showing that a certain number of people who experiment in their teens and young adulthood with homosexuality will naturally change to heterosexuality as they mature. That's just some of those folks, because it is an element of experimentation. You know, again, nobody's born this way. So all kinds of reasons, all kinds of people are involved in this. As we promote more sexual experimentation, you're going to get more of this, especially more bisexuality.
Yeah, I bet you're really challenged when you say people are not born this way, because that is kind of ingrained now in a lot of people's heads.
It is, because the people that they know who are homosexual will say, oh, no, I remember thinking this, that I was different when I was 5 years old. Yeah, a lot can happen before a person's five that can really direct them on a course that is very confusing, things they do not remember. And there are many, many elements now in our culture that will turn people in a wrong direction sexually, and they're very confused. Parents that are not behaving well, we have many broken homes, a lot of parental issues go into the backgrounds of these folks. Sexual abuse is very much in the background of so many people who later go on and are homosexual.
I want to comment here. I'm talking to Linda Harvey. If you want more information, you want to write her a question, do so at missionamerica.com. You've got a loved one steeped in some of the issues we're talking about. You can write her there. But I want to cite another article I believe I saw on your site, and it's was about a parade in your neck of the woods, Ohio. And the thing is, it was going on in probably hundreds, if not thousands, of cities back in June. And it is the Gay Agenda Parade, the Gay Pride Parades, and Discover Card has decided that it pays to be LGBT. Huntington Bank marchers, including several children, wore matching shirts. J.P. Morgan Chase marchers held a sign reading, Just Be You, in rainbow colors. And U.S. Bank urged us to celebrate Pride. Macy's was highly visible with its Red Star balloon floating high above the crowd. Their employee group displayed to sign that read Pride and Joy. Not to be outdone, JCPenney marchers told us that love is love, don't hide your pride. Indeed, JCPenney has been quite visibly supporting the LGBT cause in recent years by featuring ads with two women and two men in parent roles. Nationwide insurance was on Pride members' side. And then there were the churches, and you name some, and some were smiling, waving, singing praise songs. Signs read, Who Would Jesus Hate? And the Lord is my shepherd, and he knows I'm gay. And then you state that the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America proudly displayed an enormous sign and many supporters. Again, this was going on all throughout America back in June, Gay Pride Month. Were you at this parade? I think you may have written this.
Yes, I wrote all that, and I was at the parade, yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, there are people listening today, and they probably didn't plan to attend this. They may have seen this parade. They may have been in the area when parade took place in their hometown. What do you tell? How do you advise people to deal with something like this? Do you go up and talk to the participants? What do they do?
Well, and a bigger issue is we need to go to our city councils and stop these parades. That's my opinion. I think they are a blight on the community. They communicate exactly the wrong message, that homosexuality and gender change is totally fine, that it's a big joke, because there are people, men dressed in feather boas and lipstick and heels in these parades. This is such a wrong message to our children, especially. So I think my opinion is gay pride parades ought to be banned, and I think we have every reason to do so. There's no redeeming social value. That's my belief. In the meantime, there was a lady in this parade, an African-American woman, the very front of the parade. She stood out, and an elderly woman holding a cross, and she had a sign that said, "Jesus died for your sins." And she was quickly escorted to the side, and I could see her being given a lecture by the tolerant crowd. It was such a stunning example of hypocrisy. They couldn't even allow this harmless woman to march along with them. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to hear what you have to say. And I do know that there are pastors that will go down and give out tracts,
okay.
but often that's not the environment, because those folks, you know, many of them they're not in a mindset to hear you. I believe some people are called to do that, and God bless them, they are.
What about just not patronizing some of these outfits, JCPenney, Macy's, Morgan Chase, Discover Card? Let's maybe just start not using those vendors.
Exactly. That's the biggest thing we can do is, and those people do feel it. I think they have been hurt in their pocketbooks by the fact that people are knowing about this. I mean, many of the big Christian ministries, American Family Association, Family Research Council, have publicized that JCPenney. JCPenney sponsored the teen program that accompanied the Columbus Gay Pride Parade last year. Not this year, but the year before. A teen program. Imagine that. Kids are from the high schools and middle schools are drawn down to the parade, the kids that believe they are homosexual. What do you think goes on there?
Yeah.
I mean, just imagine. That's one of the reasons we should not have these parades to begin with.
I need to take a break. When we come back, I want to talk to you about another executive order that happened in late July by Barack Obama. We will do that, folks, in exactly 1 minute. Don't go away. Don't touch your dial.
Many broadcasters are afraid to tell the whole truth and will not address the current events of our day. God called us not to be afraid and compromise the message of the gospel. We are Understanding the Times Radio, a voice you can trust for the inconvenient truth. We like to say Understanding the Times gives you the real story on issues you hear in the news every day. On our website, you'll find a variety of ways to keep informed on current events. We have annual conferences, we print newsletters. Daily on our website, we publish e-news alerts and headlines pertinent to a biblical worldview. Find it all at olivetreeviews.org. Would you like to become a financial partner to this ministry? Please consider adding us to your charitable giving. Just write to us at Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311, or phone 763-559-4444. In about 60 seconds, we'll rejoin Jan Markell and Linda Harvey.
This is Jan Markell, and the costs of coast-to-coast radio can be staggering. Won't you consider joining our financial team? If you will, we're offering a gift for a donation of any amount. My newest DVD, When Government Becomes God, What History Teaches Us. Nazi Germany let government become God. America is making the same mistake. As I've worked with Holocaust survivor Anita Dittman over the years, she has taught me the terrible lessons of Germany letting government become God. This is surely a setup for the Antichrist, who will claim to be a real earthly God with the ultimate in false promises. Call us today with a tax-deductible gift or write Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311 and ask for When Government Becomes God, the DVD. You must live in the U.S. All gifts are tax-deductible. You can give online at olivetreeviews.org or call 763-559-4444.
religion doesn't much like gay people, does it? But then, of course, religion doesn't much like anything. And if we listed all the things religion disapproves of, we'd probably still be here next Tuesday. However, it does seem to hold a special place of condemnation in its hard little heart for homosexuals. To the religious mind, if you're gay, then you've got something wrong with you. Whereas to my mind, if you think it's some kind of insult to call somebody gay, well, that's when you've actually got something wrong with you.
We're going to prohibit all companies that receive a contract from the federal government from discriminating against their LGBT employees. America's federal contracts should not subsidize discrimination against the American people. Now, this executive order is part of a long bipartisan tradition.
This is Understanding the Times Radio, a ministry that helps you interpret the headlines with a biblical perspective. Here again is Jan Markell with her guest, Linda Harvey.
And welcome back to the program. And for these two segments, talking to Linda Harvey, and she is president and founder of Mission America, missionamerica.com, author, speaker, radio host, reported on sexual identity politics for 20 years. She was actually raised in a liberal home, became a Christian, changed her mind and heart about some of the most volatile issues of our time. By the way, folks, don't forget, I want to stay in touch with you. I can do that on the website. I can do that on our Facebook, Jan Markell's Olive Tree Ministries. I send you e-alerts, sign up online, print newsletter. Please sign up or call my office to be put on that list as well. Program is posted to my website every Saturday, olivetreeviews.org. Larry Kutzler, during the break, you made a comment that I wanted you to come back and pick up on because it was so pertinent.
When Linda was talking about going to your city council,
yes,
for to keep the gay prides from happening in various communities, I remember in 2012, I wrote the city council on several occasions because in Minnesota, we had a Marriage Amendment Act that defined marriage between a man and a woman. Well, it was defeated in the fall of that year, but previous to the vote, I had written the city council saying, you know, I want my city council members to simply govern the city, you know, in the things that they normally do, but not to get political. And the entire city council came out with ads and publications and publicity saying that we as a city council do not support the Marriage Amendment Act. And so, you know, when I began to poll the folks that are on our city council in Minneapolis, I found that several of those members were gay and had a great deal of influence. So, you know, they may be a small number, but they seem to be in very powerful positions to influence a great number of people.
Yes, and you know, this is a huge frustration people have because the same with school boards trying to influence what happens in your local school district, and so many of these people are very, very liberal in their thinking. I think one of the things that has to happen is that if enough people did it, if it wasn't just one voice here and there, the other side has done this very deliberately for many,
right,
many years. We need to get in the political fray. Many Christians are ducking out of it because it is so frustrating. We can't do that, or we're going to have a changed America. I mean, we can make a choice, but we do need to elect leaders who are not going to be those kinds of folks. And we need to have a lot of people. Now, people focus on one issue. Somebody needs to take up the gay pride parade issue, for instance, in each community. Somebody responsible. Research it heavily and then be a leader and stay with it. That's the key. Stay with it.
Linda, we opened a couple of segments with you. We went back to the Hobby Lobby verdict that came down now several weeks ago. And just towards the end of July, Barack Obama issued an executive order prohibiting workplace discrimination based on sexual orientation or gender identity for federal contractors. I want to play just a real quick, it's less than a minute, soundbite of him as he's about to sign this executive order.
You know, in a few moments, I will sign an executive order that does two things. First, the federal government already prohibits employment discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. Once I sign this order, the same will be explicitly true for gender identity. And second, we're going to prohibit all companies that receive a contract from the federal government from discriminating against their LGBT employees. America's federal contracts should not subsidize discrimination against the American people. Now, this executive order is part of a long bipartisan tradition. President Roosevelt signed an order prohibiting racial discrimination in the national defense industry. President Eisenhower strengthened it. President Johnson expanded it. Today I'm going to expand it again.
Here's what Christianity Today says about what happened. President Barack Obama on Monday gave employment protection to gay and transgender workers in the federal government and its contracting agencies after being convinced by advocates of what he called the irrefutable rightness of your cause. Since Obama announced that he would sign the order, he's faced pressure from opposing flanks over whether he would include an exemption for religious organizations. He decided to maintain a provision that allows religious groups with federal contracts to hire and fire based upon religious identity, but not give them any exception to consider sexual orientation or gender identity. Churches also are able to hire ministers as they see fit. So help the listener understand what happened. This goes all the way back to July 21st when this was signed. You said earlier that pastors need to pay attention to some of these things. How does the church and Christian ministries fit into what happened in this executive order?
Well, probably not directly unless they somehow contract with the federal government. It does cover about 20% of the American workforce. In some fashion or other, companies and organizations contract with the federal government. What this means is that those people who do that now must accept homosexuality and cross-dressing in their among their employees, period. And he did this with executive order. The reason he did it is because these kinds of bills have been proposed in Congress for about a decade. They've never passed both houses of Congress. This is the dream of homosexual activists to cover all companies in the U.S. and all schools and mandate that these behaviors be honored. And the big thing, the reason I said pastors need to pay attention, however, is that even if you can hire somebody in your explicitly religious organization and you can hire someone who says they're a Christian because you want to maintain Christian values, define Christian today, because lots of people say they're gay Christians. And
that's right.
You know, so that's very questionable. What you can't use is sexual orientation or gender identity. You have to hire an openly homosexual or openly cross-dressing male or female. And this is a huge insult to traditional Christianity and authentic Christian doctrine.
Well, okay, we've mentioned pastors here two or three times in these couple of segments. Do you find that there are some who are somewhat aggressive in this topic that we're talking about, pushing back, fighting back?
Not very many. Again, it's hard to do. I understand. Believe me, I've taken my share of many hits. But people need guidance. If congregations are just going to hear the talking points of the media and what they get here and there, what you're going to have are people who do not understand the Bible as it applies to what's going on now. People need to understand that marriage is never two men or two women. And if you are an authentic Christian, you will never accept that belief, and that homosexuality is a grave sin and it defies God's standard for sexuality.
Again, talking a couple of segments here with Linda Harvey. She is founder of Mission America. Learn more at missionamerica.com. You can communicate with her there as well. You can find out more about the book that she has authored, which we talked about earlier in the program. Off air, Linda Harvey, you talked about a little bit about the agenda to youth.
Well, I think the first thing to note is that we need to look at how homosexuality is being promoted in our schools and to youth, like, for instance, the Boy Scouts, how it's been transformed. But it's not specifically that. Every single one of these issues, the same-sex marriage issue, for no other reason people should oppose this, because this is going to mandate what children are taught from the time they're little children. And when you, for instance, you know, in Minnesota, now you have same-sex marriage. Okay, this means your schools are somewhat liberal, as I understand. You know, this means that in schools, little six-year-old Megan is going to learn early on that you better not say anything against homosexuality, because people can marry. When you grow up, you may marry a girl, and you're not going to know for a while. It might be a boy, it might be a girl. Do we think this is not going to have an effect on little Megan as she develops? Of course it is. It's not just something presented to her when she's 21. No, it will form and shape her ideas, her values, and of course, the more of this that happens, the further away children are drawn from Jesus Christ and an authentic Christian faith. So we have to look at every single one of these issues through the lens of the next generation. And this is critically important reason to jump in here and protect these children.
Well, the Bible is clear that the culture is going to decline in those last days that it talks about. And we see that happening all the time. Every day we look at headlines and you can see it a little more serious than the day before. I still think it's shocking. I still think it's tough for a lot of people to handle what's happening. And when it's directed at kids, teens, young people, I think it's even more difficult to handle. In many cases, if they're children, they're not equipped to handle this emotionally.
Right, exactly. And as the culture declines, and, you know, as we're heading into the end times, or it sure looks like we may be, or the end of America, or both, the thing we have to remember is we can't just sit back and say, well, it's going to happen. No, we are responsible for what we can do right up to the end,
mm-hmm.
and saving people and creating those witnessing opportunities. And children that are who are sexualized early are far away from being open to being witnessed to and to receiving Jesus as their Savior. So we really have to understand how this is shaping America. America has been given as a gift to Christians. We need to do something without putting all our eggs in that basket, of course, but we need to do something to preserve it and preserve our witness in the world and right here in this country.
I think that's a good note to close on, Linda. Many more questions I could ask you. I am concerned because you feel that the Boy Scouts are going to allow openly homosexual leaders sometime either in late 2014 or 2015. Is that right?
I think that's where they're heading because they're getting so much pressure. You know, they did just accept that openly homosexual boys can be part of the troops. Well, that's going to change the troop atmosphere. That wasn't enough for the homosexual leaders in this country. They're pressed on and said, we want more.
A lot of things to pray about, folks. I hope you'll do that. Learn more at missionamerica.com. Linda Harvey, thank you for what you're doing. I can tell it's not an easy assignment, but around here we know about things that aren't easy assignments.
Yeah, I know you do. Thank you, Jan, so much.
We'll talk again. Thank you so much. Bye now. Well, will you take a stand for righteousness? It can't always be someone else's responsibility. We are called to be salt and light and to try to preserve a righteous culture amidst a caving culture. And may we say with the psalmist too, I trust in you, O Lord. Our times, even though they're perilous, and they are certainly frustrating, our times are in your hands. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll talk to you next week.
Raining on high.
Understanding the Times is made possible by our listeners. We wouldn't be on your favorite radio station without the support of our audience. If this program has benefited you, please consider becoming our financial partner. Won't you help us continue on this station, telling the biblical truth without compromise? Just write to Olive Tree Ministries, Post Office Box 1452, Maple Grove, Minnesota 55311. You can also call us at 763-559-4444. Again, phone 763-559-4444. For any tax-deductible gift to Olive Tree Ministries, we'll send you a copy of Jan Markell's new video, When Government Becomes God. As you give, please ask for Jan's DVD. You must live in the USA to take advantage of this offer. Until next week, please remember Jan and her team in prayer as they continue to bring you The Inconvenient Truth.